Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. I'm here with Wes Doffenbaugh, and he has written a book called 21 Ways to Forgive, and the subtitle is Plus 9 Reasons Why We Must Forgive. Welcome, Wes, to our show.
It's nice to be here.
You are a teacher and evangelist, and you travel nationwide holding revivals and seminars in churches. You have a compassionate interest in helping Native pastors around the world, as well as widows and orphans. Yeah, that has become such a driving force in your life that you are here with us today to promote this ministry, and we're so glad you're here. 21 Ways to Forgive. I can only think of one way myself right now, so maybe you can start unpacking these ways for us.
I would love to do that. Well, the idea is I've been in the ministry 44 years, and I've had to learn oodles of things about forgiveness, or I wouldn't have remained in the ministry.
Yes.
So sometimes in life you'll get in a crisis where what you know just doesn't seem to work. And then at that point, God would teach me something new and give me a new technique. So some of these are my, used more often than others. Some are favorites. But the first three, for instance, would make it so you don't have to forgive in the first place. So the very first of the 21 ways is to overlook it. So the Bible says it's a wise man's glory to overlook an offense. So if you overlook it, you don't have to wait 3 days and say, okay, God, I forgive that jerk. You know, you just overlooked it, and so that's a marvelous way. And then the illustrations in the book, we have 40 illustrations. So we show an open can of gasoline with an open can of water, and a burning ember flies into the open can of water, and the question is, what will happen? And of course, it will just go out. But if it flies into an open can of gasoline, what will happen? And of course, then it will explode. So then we show this huge explosion. And then the idea there is the Holy Spirit will say to us now, a burning ember of offense flew into you and you exploded. What does that mean? So you say, well, okay, Holy Spirit, that means I was full of gas. In other words, the toxic gasoline of pride and irritability and stuff like that. So anyway, I love to make a point and then illustrate it with a picture to where people can't forget it.
Do you do the illustration?
I think them up with the help of the Holy Spirit, and then I hire a very professional artist to draw them.
I love the pictures. And, if you look at Kohlberg's level of development, the lowest level, which we see in young kids, is you do something because you don't want to be punished. And you actually bring that out in your first chapter. We forgive so we don't go to hell. In other words, we don't want to get punished. But as the book progresses, and I don't know if you did this with intention, but it actually goes on to higher and higher levels of moral development.
Unintentional.
It's pretty cool because there are so many ways to forgive, but there has to be some, a few ways that you have found that you use the most often.
Yeah, I'll tell you. It's all right if I tell you one?
Yes, yes.
When I was 23, I was directing a choir practice on a Saturday morning, and a deacon walked in with a drunk man and knelt at the altar area and began to loudly pray and interrupt a choir practice. So when that man would get drunk, he'd want to come in and pray. And I had already prayed with him 2 hours one day and 2 hours that other day, so I knew what was going to happen. So I waited about 5 minutes, and they weren't going to move, and I couldn't move the choir. So I knelt down by the deacon, and I whispered, "Would you please take this man in another room and pray with him there as long as you like?" And he just jumped to his feet and screamed at the top of his voice, "How can you call yourself a man of God and turn a lost sinner away from God's holy altar?" And I just kind of smiled at him and didn't say anything. So he turned around and stomped off, and His wife was terribly embarrassed. She was in the choir. And I smoothed everything down. But as he walked through that door, in my heart, I said, "You big turkey, you." And then the next day, he was on the other side of the church. And I thought he'd come and apologize, but he didn't. So I looked at him, and in my heart, I said, "He's a bigger turkey than I thought he was." And God began to convict me. And I thought, "Why are you convicting me?" And I said, "Lord, don't you remember that Jesus said, if your brother sins against you, rebuke him. And if he repents, forgive him. But he hasn't repented. And that's why I haven't forgiven him." Now, once in a while, God speaks to me, okay? And I wish he spoke to me a whole lot more. You can pray that he does, okay? But when I said that, God spoke these very words. He said, "You're just like a man that went down to the beach and a seagull flew over his head and had a bowel movement that landed right on his nose. And he looked at the bird as it flew away and said, 'You dirty bird, you, I'm going to leave this right here on my face until you come back and wipe it off.'" Now, I was just stunned. And then God spoke again, and he said, "Bitterness is showing on your face, and you can't hide it." And I said, "Well, how do I get it off?" And he said, "Forgive him before he asks."
Now,
so that's number 8 of the 21
yeah,
ways.
Did you do a picture of it?
I did that picture of it.
I've got to see
when
this.
When you find number 8 there, let me turn that. This is still in the there's a part 1 and a part 2.
Okay.
And in part 2, then it's number 8.
Yeah, so we're looking at the book that Wes Doffenbaugh.
Doffenbaugh
wrote, called 21 Ways to Forgive.
And
there it is, the picture of the
seagull. So, you know, you just have to wipe it off your nose. You just have to say, you know, the bird's not coming back.
Yes.
And most people are never going to ask forgiveness.
That's
so if you're
right.
waiting for them to ask forgiveness, it's probably not going to happen. And you could wear bitterness around the rest of your life, and with it ever increasing and showing on your face. So I just forgave that guy with all my heart, but I didn't tell him because that would have spoiled it. So whenever I was around him, I was just so friendly as if nothing had happened. And he started bringing me presents. He never said he was sorry, but he brought me homemade granola and deer venison,
yeah.
And we became friends. So, you know, as a young associate, I learned that. And I would forgive everybody right away. See, I never wanted to get caught with bitterness on my face.
Yeah.
So then I became a lead pastor. I pioneered a church and became the lead pastor about 8 years later. And I always tell people birds flew over in herds when I did that. And I was just, "I forgive them, I forgive them, I forgive them, I forgive them." So one day a prophetic lady came to me and she said, "The Holy Spirit sent me over here to tell you that you're holding on to something in one of your hands. And you can only work with one hand, and he wants you to let go of what you're holding on to so you can work with two hands. And he'll tell you what you're holding on to." So I thought that sounded really crazy, but when I prayed about it, I said, "Am I holding on to something in one of my hands?" God said, "Yes." And I said, "Well, what?" He said, "It's what you wiped off your nose." And so what I was doing is I was carefully forgiving everybody, but I was rehearsing all the sad sorrow events, see?
Uh-huh.
And I was saying, "Look what that lady did to me, but I forgave her. And look what that man did to me, but I forgave him. And look what they did to me, but I forgave them." And then I'd kind of go, "Oh, God, has any pastor ever been so mistreated in the history of the world?" So, see, when you wipe the bird stuff off your nose, you got to get it out of your hand. You got to forget it.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not bitterness on your face. It's self-pity in your hand. And self-pity is a big problem.
When I look at the title, 21 Ways to Forgive, I think you could almost make a cool parody of the song. I forget how many ways it is to leave your lover, but
oh.
You would do 21 Ways to Forgive Your Brother.
Yeah, probably could.
I mean, there's so much wonderful humor, and I think God uses humor to bring and really cement lessons in our mind. So I'm talking to Wes Doffenbaugh.
That's exactly right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we're talking about 21 ways to forgive plus 9 reasons we must forgive. And we've just gone through your pigeon experience. I think when I look back at my work in the church, and a teacher certainly has a lot of pigeons flying overhead. You can't survive, really, without forgiving and forgetting. So what are some of the strategies to forgive and forget?
Well, one of my other favorite ones is called The Bank of Heaven. And the Lord taught me that when we forgive, our pain is not wasted, it's invested in the bank of heaven. Like we might, the devil might say, well, you know, if you forgive, what about all your pain? Is it just going to be put in the trash and taken to the dumpster in the landfill? And God would say, no, it's going to be invested, and I'm going to give you dividends on it. So he showed me that when Stephen was being stoned, and he said, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. All the pain of not seeing his wife or raising his kids or finishing his ministry, all that pain was invested in the bank of heaven. And that gave God a legal right to strike Saul of Tarsus, the most guilty man at that event, with a bolt of mercy instead of a bolt of justice. Because I had gone through a horrible church split that lasted 7 months, and I was beginning to think I could nominate a few people for God to just whack with a lightning bolt, you know, just take yes. them out with a bolt of justice. And when God began to teach me this, he was saying, if I struck them with justice, then there'd just be a puddle of grease, you know, that's they'd be burned up. That's all you'd have is a stain on the carpet. But if I struck them with mercy, you might get an apostle out of the deal. Which would you rather have, a grease spot or an apostle? I said, wow, well, I'd really rather have an apostle out of the deal.
Yeah.
So when someone's causing me a lot of pain, I use this one all the time. I'll say, Lord, now you know they're causing me a lot of pain, but it would make me so happy if you'd use my pain as a justification that gives you some legal right to strike them when they're not seeking you properly, to strike them with mercy and reveal yourself to them like you did to the Apostle Paul. You know how God, a bolt of light struck him to the ground and Jesus spoke to him and turned him into an apostle instead of a grease spot.
Yes.
So the bank of heaven, that's number 10 of the 21 ways.
Well, we have to take a break right now, but we'll be right back.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Go to mrgmediaministries.com. mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Wes Doffenbaugh, a pastor of a few years, and he's written a book called 21 Ways to Forgive, plus 9 Reasons Why We Must Forgive. And the book is lovely. It's illustrated wonderfully with kind of caricatures. And I love the illustration that you talked about before about the pigeon that comes and then you...
In the illustration, it's a seagull, but same difference.
I mean, a seagull. Yeah, it could be a pigeon. But sure. In this, it's a seagull and they plop something on your nose and you say, you dirty bird, I'm going to leave this right here on my nose until you come back and wipe it off. And then finally you wipe it off, but then how do you get the bitterness removed from now it's in your hand and you're kind of still recounting what that seagull did.
That's what it turns into, self-pity.
Yes, self-pity.
And the Lord taught me one time that self-pity is a prince among sins. That just like a locomotive has to pull boxcars down the railroad track, most boxcars can't go down the track without a locomotive. So he taught me that most sins can't get into your life unless a locomotive sin is pulling or pushing them, and self-pity can pull in suicide and murder and any adultery, you name it. Self-pity is extremely powerful, and people treat it like it's just a normal thing. Well, no, it's very, very dangerous. So when you forgive, you've got to forget. Okay,
yes.
You've got to dust your hands together and say, I'm going to forget all about it.
And so now we're talking about the 9 reasons why you must forgive. Self-pity is huge. What are some of the other reasons, or are they all couched in self-pity?
No. This book deals with overcoming sadness and sorrow and victim mentality and irritability and anger and blaming others. And, you know, it's kind of a lot. Of cousin unforgiveness has a lot of cousins, all right?
Yes.
But we were talking about some of the reasons we must forgive. Number 6 in the 9 reasons we must forgive is so we don't die of stress-related diseases. And we have a picture of a lady looking up at the entrance to a burial ground, and it says, Welcome to Negative Emotions Memorial Garden. And then the caption says, Don't let bitterness kill you. So that's one
huge.
Reason. That's huge, because when you're negative emotions go through your whole body and are chemically translated into very bad stuff.
Yeah.
And so doctors would tell you that, you know, 87% or something like that of all diseases at least are related to stress.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stress plays a part in just about everything. So here's what I've learned. If I would think what I call mad, bad, or sad thoughts for three straight days, I'd almost always catch a bad cold, because real negative thinking lowers your immunity. Doesn't matter what time of year it is.
Yeah.
And if you can avoid negative, sad, mad, bad thinking, your immunity, sad, mad, bad.
That's
how you screen your thoughts. But that's from another book I've written. But anyway, so I was at a men's breakfast. I was going to speak, and I was sitting next to this youth pastor. And he was a bodybuilder and a health food nut, you know, and he was telling me all the probiotics and vitamins and protein drinks and all his big routine. I says, well, you know, I don't do all that stuff, but I take some fish oil and some vitamins and I try to walk. I said, but here's my main health principle. I try to live with a tranquil spirit so that I'm always at peace, because the Bible says a heart at peace gives life to the body, and a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So I make sure that I'm not critical of anybody, that I'm not in unforgiveness, that I don't hate anybody, and that I'm not feeling sorry for myself. And I said, because, you know, in the wilderness, they were eating the ultimate health food that fell out of the sky. The manna from heaven had every probiotic, mineral, enzyme, protein, fat, you know, it had it all. And it was the ultimate health food. And yet they almost all died prematurely because they were filled with negativity.
Yeah.
So he got really, really quiet because he hated his father.
Wow.
So in that meeting, he got a real repentance, a real deliverance, and a real wonderful touch from God, you know.
Yes. I'm sure that someone listening to us at this moment is thinking, you know, this is me. I need to forgive a relative or a coworker or a spouse or a sibling. I need to let go and let God take care of it. Much easier said than done.
Well,
but it needs to be done.
That's why if you just think, well, I got to forgive, it really helps to see the 21 ways.
Yes.
And in the process then, like one of the ways is to take steps out of sadness, because you got to get over it. You can't just forgive it.
Yes.
You got to get over it.
I mean, and there's things that sadness and madness are God-given emotions, but only for the moment.
You know, when
right? Because anger helps us react quickly to situations. You know, maybe someone is hurting a loved one and the anger flashes and we need to take care of it. And sadness also, you know, on this planet, we're going to grieve about certain things, but it can't continue on.
That's why this
one is
called...
It has to be joy in the morning, right?
Take the steps out of sadness, number 11 of the 21 ways. And then we have a picture of a man in a cistern that's fallen into a cistern, and it's called the cistern of sadness. And his whole focus is, I'm so sad, look what they did to me. So when your focus of your life... It's like a dark cloud out in front of you, and you can't get away from it. And every day, all day long, it's, I'm so sad. Look what they did to me. Now, you have to take responsibility to get out of that cistern of sadness, because nobody else is going to be able to pull you out. And the first step is to say, well, that was just the devil, and I can't expect the devil to be good, because
we don't
wrestle against flesh and blood. And the devil will deceive people and manipulate people. And so he's our enemy, not the people that did the bad to us, but the guy that's running the puppet. You know what I mean?
Right. We wrestle not against flesh.
So then the second step is to say, well, you know, I'm still alive and I can counterattack the devil. And then the third step is very important, that you don't fight with the devil. You just say, I'll counterattack the devil by helping people. Who can I help? Now, what that does is get to focus off of yourself.
Yeah.
And onto others. And then you're climbing out of that sadness. And then when you say, you know, I am so happy, look what God used me to do for people. Now,
amen.
See how opposite that is from I'm so sad, look what people did to me.
Yeah.
But you say, I'm so happy, look what God used me to do for people.
Amen.
But you got to decide to do that. See,
you
got to decide, you know what, I got to get out of this sadness.
The,
so
the mind-
who can I love? Who can I serve? Who can I help? Get out there and love somebody and forget about all the mean things people did to you.
The mind is so powerful, but you have to make those decisions. And I think often of elderly people, there's a lot of self-pity. I mean, and I don't blame them. As I'm aging as well, I'm thinking, wow, you know, I can't do as many things as I used to do, or I don't have as many friends as I used to have. And so I can see, and I've seen those that grow old, they make a choice. Some become sweeter and more pleasant, and you love to be around them. And others become more bitter, complain more, nothing goes right. And I'm thinking, you know, God has a purpose for us until the day we pass. And that's the purpose, really, is to help others.
To live a life of love, basically.
Yeah, wherever you're at. If you're in a retirement center, nursing home, you know, just even a smile can really brighten another person's
day. Anything you can do for somebody else is going to make you feel better.
Yes.
There's one in here I thought we should talk about, and that's the question, how do you forgive God?
Oh, that's an interesting
one.
And
that's the last one in the book. And the idea is you don't forgive God, but you have to understand that he thinks bigger than you think. So what God does a lot of times, when the Bible says he does exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think, that sounds really good. But when that happens, that doesn't always feel good, because you're praying for some little thing and God's thinking exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. So he jumps over it because he wants to do something bigger, something better. And now when he skips what you're believing for with all your heart, it can just crush your spirit. And a crushed spirit is like a broken windshield that's just thousands of pieces. It's not just a crack, it's crushed.
Yeah.
I've had a crushed spirit because I felt like God completely failed me. But I realized later he only failed to do what I was praying for. He skipped over to do something bigger. And the story that he used was in the Bible when Jacob prayed that God would protect his son Joseph when he sent him on an errand to check on the older brothers. I'm sure he prayed, God, bring my boy home. Well, he didn't come home. All that came home was his robe of many colors dipped in goat blood, and the brothers had sold him as a slave. So what God, he skipped over that little prayer, bring my boy home safe. Instead, he took him to Egypt and schooled him in administration over a household and then over a prison, and then taught him to move in the gifts of the Spirit, and then made him Pharaoh's right-hand man because he wanted to save all of Jacob's descendants, not just one boy. He wanted to save them all and make them a great nation, to make them a witness nation to the world through which he would bring the Messiah to redeem the whole world.
Amen.
So see how much bigger that is than God, bring my boy home safe tonight. And other examples would be like Mary and Martha. Lord, if you had have been here, our brother would not have died.
Yes.
Well, he wanted to raise him from the dead, so hundreds would believe. So the Pharisees would get jealous and put the crucifixion plan into motion so he could die for our sins, redeem the world. So that's, and then the illustration of the master checker player wins the checker game by the first checker he sacrifices. He'll move it out on person.
Yeah.
On purpose, and then it'll get jumped. Now, the little checker doesn't understand, and he screams when he's removed from the board. And then the master double jumps the enemy and opens up the king row and says, king me. And then he understands, that's much better. So we have that all drawn out in there.
Yeah, so, you know, we've come to the end of the show, but you need to read this book, 21 Ways to Forgive, and read it over and over again. Plus 9 Reasons Why We Must Forgive. We've been talking with Pastor Wes Doffenbaugh, and we'll have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.